is Max Kaiser for the next 20 minutes. Really appreciate him joining us. I want to go ahead and go to your phone calls here in this segment and the next. Mike, David, Kevin, Daniel, and many others holding around the country and the world. Toll free number to join us, 1-800-259-9231. I do want to squeeze a lot of calls in, though, so just have your question or comment ready so we can get to the next person. Max, any other points you haven't gotten to? I mean, you were talking about the ships aren't moving, 98% reduction, because no one has money or has the credit to even ship the products. Same thing with Ford and GM saying that they can't even get the insurance ratings to have their parts suppliers overseas. These aren't American companies to ship over here. I mean, it looks like the economy is dead, but the brain's still going to get oxygen for a few minutes, maybe 6 months more. But it looks like the economy has just come to a standstill.
Yeah, it's a zombie. And if you look at countries around the world, it's already happening. Obviously, in Iceland, the entire economy, because of banking tricks that went bad, the entire economy went offline. The krona, the Icelandic krona, became worthless, and they're on life support system from the IMF. 30% of the population is trying to emigrate out of Iceland today. 30%. Imagine in America, that would be 100 million people.
And by the way, Iceland was a wondrous first world nation before this.
Iceland, 6 months ago, was considered to be, you know, exactly an example of the new world order, if you will, to put it into your terms, you know, a shining example of banking as arbitrage of all the banking products that would make everybody rich.
No one could immigrate there. I mean, even if he had 10 million bucks, it was harder to get into than New Zealand.
Yeah, and the whole thing went offline in a matter of weeks. All the savings in the UK, people put their savings into Iceland because they were getting 6 or 7%. All those savings evaporated in one day. The UK government paid off those savers in the UK. Now they're suing Iceland to get the money, as are other countries in Europe and around the world.
And by the way, there's not even food on most of the store shelves in Iceland.
That's right. It's
just like Argentina, folks, because these bankers can't help it. You turn the back, they have to stick it in you. It's like a psycho that has to kidnap little kids and kill them. I mean, they just got to do it. Max.
Also, on the gold front, you saw over the weekend that the finance minister in Iran has now officially come out and said that they're moving most of their $120 billion reserves into gold bullion.
That's right. London Guardian, Iran switches reserve to gold report, and that's happening all over the world right now. Central South America moving off the dollar. Meanwhile, the American yuppies are watching football, acting tough. They're delusional. They're stomping around, drinking Kool-Aid. What is going to happen when the American people find out just how bad they've been set up?
Well, it's like that Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. I think I can see a lot of yuppie burgers being served at various outlets.
I agree. In fact, give me the document, Cam. I want to show folks this London Guardian article. Iran switches.
How come you're not going to play my video from yesterday? It might be too hot for your show, Alex.
No, it's not that. The audio is distorted, but we are going to play it. I just wanted him to. It's a little overdriven, but it's great.
Overdriven. Oh, that is code word. That's code word. I wouldn't expect that from Alex.
No.
Overdriven.
This
Alex
is from Al Jazeera.
For your audience.
This is when you were on Al Jazeera. And
yes,
of course, you have a TV show on Al Jazeera, which is, by the way, people say, Al Jazeera, that's Saudi Arabia or whatever. No, folks, this is based out of England. It's like their world service.
No, Al Jazeera is in Qatar, which has the biggest military base of America outside of the United States.
Qatar,
which is where Al Jazeera is America's ally.
Qatar or whatever. I'm always saying it wrong.
Okay. Now, you also on TV, I should remind you, on November 28th, Alex, it looks like the first episode of The Oracle is going to be on BBC World. And last time I was on your show, I said I was going to invite you. If, in fact, we do the November 28th premiere show on BBC World, it goes out to 180 million people. Max Kaiser presents The Oracle. I think I got it hooked up. I can bring you in satellite, do a little, you know, 3 or 4 minute interview with
you. Let's do it. Please put me on The Oracle, produced by Max Kaiser and Alec Baldwin. I couldn't think of anything more exciting. But stay there. By the way, I forgot about your clip. And I'm not afraid to play your clip. But that's a great way to build it up. Max Kaiser, MaxKaiser.com. Your phone call straight ahead with our guest. Stay with us.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons, or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at gcnlive.com to order online now.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about the newest hydrogen technology available. GasFreedom is an affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil companies don't want you to know. Learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car and experience the most powerful hydrogen cells available. Visit gasfreedom.info and receive $59.95 off of your order by using coupon code GCN. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
It's a very complicated problem, and we cannot fix it without some international rules.
Notably absent from the summit's final statement, any detailed plan to help troubled homeowners or struggling workers in the developing world. That wasn't expected, but with economists projecting a global recession that could last upwards of 2 years, one might be justified in asking whether these leaders really feel the urgency of the situation. Rosalind Wharton, Al Jazeera, Washington.
Well, let's get a European perspective on all of that. Max Kaiser is a financial commentator based in Paris and joins us live. Max, positive words there from the world leaders. Will the financial markets be cheering on Monday morning?
No, Bush misspoke. He said that the world's economies were hit hard. That's not true. The world's counterfeiting schemes were hit hard. The bond counterfeiting schemes from Wall Street and the City of London were hit hard. The counterfeiting schemes have been exposed. And the problem is that these G20 nations are not willing to get rid of the scoundrels and the criminals who are running the banks and putting in fraudulent, faulty economy. Somebody should issue a fatwa against Hank Paulson. Someone should issue a fatwa against Hank Paulson because he's an infidel. This is the Constitution of the United States. He's not obeying the spirit of the Constitution. He's issuing counterfeit money, counterfeit bonds. That's why the global economy is in such a sad shape. The man is a financial terrorist.
The hyperbole aside,
I mean, that's the reality of the situation. That's not the hyperbole. That's not the hyperbole.
Well, I'm sure
that's not the hyperbole. That's the reality of the situation.
So the solution is what?
Counterfeit.
The solution is what?
You have to go into a court of law and take Hank Paulson and Goldman Sachs up for financial terrorism, put them in jail. This is counterfeiting. They're issuing bonds that are absolutely non-collateralized. There's $500 trillion in derivatives with no collateral.
That may be one response to Hank Paulson, but as far as the international global economy is concerned, we have matters like, should the IMF be reformed? Should countries like China and India have a bigger say in regulation and moderation of the global markets? Did any of these get addressed, and are these the way forward?
China, India, Europe, all the banks own structured financial products sold to them from Wall Street. These are all counterfeit bonds that are exploding. They're worth zero. For example, they have no way of selling these bonds because they have zero value. As a result, they dump oil. And oil, because they're dumping oil to pay for these fraudulent bonds, the price of oil has dropped, and these developing nations are suffering because of this counterfeiting scheme that has zero value. Bush is completely incorrect when he says the global economy is suffering. It's the global counterfeiting scheme that's suffering. These guys are criminals. There should be a fatwa against these guys. He's an infidel. Hank Paulson, his head should be bouncing down the Capitol steps.
Max Kaiser,
I'm sorry, but that's the reality of the situation.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he was speaking, I guess, to the Arabic audience there, though it's big worldwide, talking about fatwas. Ron Paul said here about a month and a half ago they should all be arrested. They are criminals, but they know that they're doing it out in the open, too big to fail, too big to be criminals. Well, either they fall or we fall. Max Kaiser, I hadn't seen that clip. I just knew you'd sent it, and so I'd sent it on to the network. Actually, my producer had. Now I know why you wanted it played. That is some powerful stuff. You know, when I go on Al Jazeera or Press TV or BBC or Russia Today, I thought I was getting hardcore on these channels. My God, Max Kaiser's like the gold standard of in-the-face, telling-the-truth boldness. I'm actually being put to shame here. You mean, I wonder if they'll let me get that wild on there.
Well, I want you on the Oracle, Alex.
I guess you and Alec Baldwin are the producers of it. You think nobody will get upset if I go on there yelling and screaming, or is this going to be live?
This show is going to rip the ball, you know, the cover off the ball. This is going to be the most watched television show in the world. We're going to have 100 million viewers. It goes out to 180 million households, half-hour show every Friday night. So we're going to be talking about all the global banking conspiracies and everything else that people are dying to know about, but they're not being told because the mainstream press, even Al Jazeera, is too timid.
So Alec Baldwin is into all this stuff.
Yeah, he's my co-producer. I've known him for 30 years, and we've been friends for a long, long time. And, you know, we're going to have a blast. He's going to be a guest. He's got some – his friends are going to be guests. We've got a satellite hookup. November 28th, we're hopefully going to get the first show on the air on BBC World.
Well, hey, count me in. You just have the producers or the people doing the legwork tell me where to be, what satellite feed. And if you can't even get a satellite feed in Austin, which I'm sure you'll be able to. It was hard on election day for some other stations I was on. I'll go wherever I need to be on that.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you know, the use of the word fatwa, for example, all that means is edict or fiat.
No, I understand. I'm saying arrest them. Yeah.
Okay, but let me just say.
Guilty. Go ahead.
Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke issue a fatwa every day. It's called the U.S. dollar by fiat. The U.S. dollar only has value by Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke's fatwa.
By the way, you're right about the stock market going down. It's down 85 points today. How far is it going to go down by next February?
Well, it's going to go a lot lower, you know, the stock market, because earnings for these companies are going to collapse. You know, obviously, the unemployment is skyrocketing. Citibank just announced 50,000 layoffs. The auto industry is going to collapse. I'm not in favor of bailing out the auto industry. I think it's a farce. Unemployment is going to go to 10, 11, 12% at a minimum. And, you know, the earnings are going to collapse. So these companies are going to trade down. You know, the average yield in a bear market gets to 6 or 7%, which means you're talking 3,000 on the Dow Jones.
Doesn't look good. You know, I want to jam in a few calls. The interview's almost over. Time just flies because I promised to play these highlights of the amazing Kashkari committee hearings last Friday. But I want to go to Mike, David, Kevin, Daniel, Rob. Guys, just ask one question of Kaiser quickly, please. I want to get you on. Mike in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Only one question,
Go ahead.
Only one question, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Let me pick my best one.
Just ask them all if I spend time to figure out which one to ask. Go ahead.
Sorry about that, Alex.
Don't be sorry. I'm sorry I don't have enough time.
Okay.
Hell, I'll just skip playing the clips. We'll play them tomorrow. We got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, just sit back and hear the question.
All right, well, with the fires occurring in California and all these people losing their homes and whatnot, will their insurance companies be able to cover them?
Well, no. I mean, in the short term, perhaps, but look, the insurance companies are part and parcel of this global credit crunch. They're running out of money. Even Warren Buffett, you know, his stock is down 50% this year. He's a big insurance
player. What happened is they took the cop tuitions, the police, the teacher, retirement funds. It was all invested in derivatives. The bankers stole it all. Okay?
Yeah, or, you know, the thing is that if in fact, by some stroke of luck, you do get some insurance money on this disaster, your rates are going to be skyrocketed the next quarter, so you won't be able to afford insurance anymore going forward. Just like in Katrina disaster, everyone can't afford flood insurance in New Orleans anymore. The rates were jacked up. So the rates for insurance are going to go a lot higher with every single one of these disasters. So the insurance industry, which is the backbone of capitalism, is going out of business.
Yeah, look, I mean, down the road, folks, you're not getting your Social Security, you're not getting your insurance. All you're getting is a forced labor camp unless we throw these people out. Mike, anything else?
Yes, okay, I guess I'll ask this question for you because I want to try to squeeze in some for both. For you, Alex, do you think that it would be easy for the police state to confiscate guns from people as it was for them in New Orleans?
No, because they had I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call, Mike. You can call back later with other calls if you want tomorrow. So that was an isolated incident. They had the cover of the disaster to do it. It was a beta test, a laboratory test, to see if they could do it and how it would sell the public. It didn't go well for them. They're just going to do stuff like turn the money off, let everybody riot, then the public will beg to turn their guns in. Max Kaiser?
Yeah, agreed. I have an idea for America, okay? Start a new 12-step program. It's called Goldman Sachs Anonymous. Everyone gets together in a church basement, and they go the 12 steps of Goldman Sachs Anonymous, that we are powerless over Goldman Sachs. Now, it sounds a bit glib, but on the other hand, it's a way for people to reach out to their neighbor, because one thing that's going to get people through this crisis is it's going to be neighbor to neighbor. So get to know your neighbors. Get to know the people around you, and because that's going to be key to your survival, I think. And, it could bring people together, unfortunately, in a crisis, but generally that's what happens.
Absolutely. Let's go to one more caller here. David in Michigan, you're on the air with Max Kaiser.
Okay, great discussion, guys. One question, I'll be brief with it. Because China owns so much of our treasury bills and the trade deficit is so high, what role do you think that China's going to play in this post-economic meltdown? I mean, Alex, you know as well as I do that this country is New World Order's dream. They'd love to run every country like this. So, I mean, after it's all said and done, the dust settles, are we going to be, slaves to the Chinese Empire?
I think this is going to hurt the Chinese as well. And I think they're going to have their hands full there. Most economists say if China ever gets down to 7% unemployment, they'd melt down. Or if their growth drops to 6%, they're dead meat. Max Kaiser?
Who took the Bank of China public 2 years ago in the biggest IPO in the history of the world?
Tell
Answer?
Us.
Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Goldman Sachs, Hank Paulson is there. He made something like 14 trips to China during this last year at Goldman Sachs. He is completely in China's pocket.
That's right. He was the Goldman Sachs guy. That was his first big job there decades ago, was Goldman Sachs' minion in China.
His first big job was he was working for Richard Nixon Washington. And he was definitely with China. They've got that huge IPO. And, I think that China has said that they're transitioning out of dollars into gold as well. They have to be careful because they have a lot
Cheney
of dollars.
Well, Cheney got out of dollars 2 years ago. I mean, everybody's moving to Dubai, I guess. Why is Dubai, Max, the place to be for the elites?
No extradition law.
There goes your answer. You know, we're going to talk behind scenes just for the Internet audience and then let Max Kaiser go because I've got to air at least most of this 30 minutes, and tomorrow I'll air more and comment on it, but I promise to have people come in and edit this 4 hours down to 30 minutes, so that is coming up. So we appreciate Max Kaiser joining us, MaxKaiser.com. That's it for the full interview. We'll talk for 4 minutes behind the scenes and come out with the audio clip. Here we go.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now, or get the DVD at InfoWars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Drinking a chlorophyll-rich beverage has been found to benefit your entire body. AlkaVision Green Shield Green Drink is a specifically formulated nutritional supplement which provides many nutritional elements that are missing from our modern diet. Green Shield helps neutralize acid in your body and maintains a healthy pH balance. And having the proper pH balance has been known to balance blood sugar levels, something we can all benefit from. Green Shield combines the perfect blend of powerful whole food vegetables, immune-boosting herbs and grasses. Green Shield does not contain algae, mushrooms, or fungi, has no preservatives, artificial colors, or flavors. The powder mixes easily with water and tastes great. Drinking Green Shield strengthens the immune system and boosts energy, relieves fatigue and stress without the use of stimulants. Order your AlkaVision Green Shield green drink now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com today. Or call 269-344-3420. That's 269-344-3420 today.
Hey, we're going to go ahead and go for this segment for the rest of the show with 30 minutes. We may not even get to all of this. Yeah, I really should just play this tomorrow and then stop and comment on it, but because there's so many facets to it. But this is Kashkari being grilled. This is only 30 minutes of 4 hours of the hearings last Friday. Tomorrow I'm going to play some more of this and the end of it and then comment more on it. But here it is, ladies and gentlemen, so stay with us.
Now, I heard your testimony, and I have to say that I'm a little bit surprised because it appears that testimony was prepared before Mr. Paulson's statement about the purposes of the Troubled Asset Relief Program. And the Secretary's decision not to purchase mortgage assets through his decision, hasn't Treasury rendered obsolete entire sections of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act? Because there was no question about congressional intention that Treasury use an asset purchase program to mitigate foreclosures. You have a response to that?
We worked very hard with both houses of Congress to design the legislation to provide a lot of flexibility. And we and the other regulators are using every tool at our disposal to get at this problem, stabilizing the financial system as well as helping homeowners. And Secretary Paulson and Chairman Bernanke and at Treasury, we have been looking at how do we deploy these resources to first stabilize the system so that we can get credit flowing to the entire economy, to our communities. And so Secretary Paulson made the determination that the best way to get at this problem, given how rapidly markets were deteriorating, was to lead with capital. But that doesn't mean that we don't care about other aspects that are very, very important. We're trying to use the right tool to solve the right problem.
Well, it would appear, Mr. Kashkari, that Secretary Paulson has gutted Section 109 of the Act, which requires Treasury to undertake specified steps to mitigate foreclosures with respect to the mortgages it acquires, including working with other federal regulators to directly or to identify troubled assets to acquire to further loan modification efforts. How do you reconcile this policy reversal with Congress's expectations laid out in the statute?
Congressman, there are other sections of the Act, as an example, that direct other government agencies, whether it's FHFA in its conservatorship of the GSEs, FHA, the Federal Reserve, to the extent that they own or control mortgages, to take action. So let me give you an example, Congressman, because this point is very important. If we had spent all $700 billion buying loans, that would be around 3 million loans or so, depending on the value of the loans, but around 3 million, 3.5 million. Instead, if you look at the actions that we took on Tuesday, by using the GSEs to now set a new industry standard for loan servicing, when the GSEs set a standard, other servicers around the country use that standard, whether it's for GSE loans or for other loans. Those actions and that protocol has the ability to influence servicing for almost every loan in America. There are 55 million residential mortgages in America.
So
it could touch 3 million or 55.
So it has the ability, but the problem is that Treasury, by taking this action that de-emphasizes loan modification, has essentially sent a signal to all the banks that this isn't particularly what you're concerned about. I mean, even though you may maintain, oh, this is in there, look, I've got the Act. There's the purposes. I want to spell them out. The purposes of the Act are, and number two, to ensure that such authority and facilities are used in a manner that protects home values. And then it goes on to Section B, preserves home ownership. Now, the Treasury just basically cut that out of the bill. And what we have here is a situation where banks are hoarding the money that they're getting from the TARP. They're using the money to purchase other banks. We still have a credit freeze. I'm looking at your testimony. You're saying credit markets were largely frozen, denying financial institutions, businesses, consumers access to vital funding and credit. Financial institutions were under extreme pressure. Investor confidence in our system was dangerously low. Hello, are we in a different universe here? It's the same situation prevails today. And yet your testimony acts as though, well, we're just merrily skipping along our way here. We've got millions of people threatened with losing their homes. And the underlying problem is that banks are now increasing their interest rates in order to get more customers. Think about this now. It's counterintuitive to your troubled asset relief program. You're now saying we're going to put the money into the banks, into these financial institutions, shore up finance capital. Well, finance capital now is seeing that the only way they can survive is to start to raise their interest rates and give away some of the money that they're giving, that the government's giving to them. At the same time, you're picking winners and losers. How do you reconcile these policy reversals? And why won't Treasury act swiftly and forcefully to maximize the system?
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. We're entering a holiday season never before seen in America. We're thankful for the warning given by members of Mr. Obama's campaign team of the coming international incident, which will force unpopular decisions. Without this warning, many of us who still have money available would have unknowingly wasted it on Christmas gifts that will be useless when the only food available is in a government breadline. When the president is faced with the expected national security incident, the in-place Patriot legislation will control transport and distribution of food. Those of us who are able to take care of ourselves must put in supplies of food. This will free up the relief organizations to give food to those unable or not smart enough to prepare. The greatest gift this Christmas is life itself, food for these unknown times. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
SurvivalProperty.com. Longtime survivalist author Ragnar Benson wrote, "A survival retreat is a place you go to live, not die. It is a place out of the mainstream of events that contains the means to survive without outside support. A place where you find shelter, protection, food, water, medicine, and warmth you prepared for yourself. It is defensible and is put together with a realistic understanding of what the dangers will be." Ragnar Benson also said, "Why retreat? This is a question that 90% of our population cannot and will not answer. If they could, that same 90% would have to admit that things may not continue on as they are now. They would also have to admit that they will need a retreat, something completely impossible for the average American to do. Act now before it's too late. In order to find your new, high-security, self-sufficient, off-grid, beautiful retreat property, visit SurvivalProperty.com. That's SurvivalProperty.com.
Time you're picking winners and losers. How do you reconcile these policy reversals? You know, and why won't Treasury act swiftly and forcefully to maximize assistance to homeowners under TARP and play a significant role in modification of home loans and at risk of imminent default? Why not?
Congressman, I personally have spent most of the past year and a half focused on ways to try to reach and help homeowners. That's been my primary focus within Treasury. It's a
right. Well, hasn't the secretary listened to you? Is he? I mean, do you feel frustrated that your position isn't being vindicated?
Congressman, the secretary is passionate about this as well. And permit me.
Passionate about what?
Helping homeowners, Congressman.
He is. Where? What country?
We are, Congressman. We are using all the tools available to the federal government to get at the credit crisis and try to help homeowners. Let me give you an example, please. We have different tools.
Mr. Kashkari, I really respect you being here. But I'm looking at a bill, Section 109, that spells all this out. This secretary just essentially took some scissors and cut it out and threw it away. Now, you know, maybe this is just some kind of a game to some people in the administration. They're on their way out of office, and they just feel they can do whatever they want, pick winners and losers in the market. We've got millions of people losing their home. Mr. Issa came to my district and saw some of our old neighborhoods, how they're just falling apart. And we've got people that are holding on, hoping against hope that somebody's going to help them. We've got millions of people in foreclosure, and if I read it right, Mr. Issa, in California there are millions more at risk of foreclosure with these jumbo mortgages and the Alt-A mortgages in 09 and 10. And all of a sudden the Treasury sent a signal to the banks, forget about it. We're going to give you the money that you want, and you do what you want with it. Unless you direct it specifically, it's not going to happen. So tell me again, why isn't it happening? Not how passionate the Treasury Secretary is.
Congressman, I believe it is happening. And if you permit me, I'll walk you through.
Please go ahead.
The four banking regulators. The Treasury is not a regulatory agency. The banking regulators supervise the banks that are getting this capital. The four banking regulators put out a joint statement that's going to govern how they supervise these banks. One of the things that they're going to be looking very closely at and watching, not just executive compensation, not just dividend policies, making sure lending is getting out there in our communities, and foreclosure mitigation efforts. The banking regulators are the supervisors of these institutions, and they've now put out a joint statement saying exactly what they're going to be looking at in their supervisory capacity. There is no one better positioned in the country than the banking regulators to do that. Treasury's not in a position to do that, but the banking regulators absolutely are. We've done had numerous initiatives to try to get at the root of this problem. But the most important benefit, Congressman, for homeowners is that we didn't allow the financial system to collapse. Imagine how many foreclosures we would have if the banking system had collapsed and mortgage finance was not available to our homeowners. That's the biggest benefit that we've been able to achieve. And, Chairman, we are not out of the woods yet, and I didn't mean to suggest that in my testimony, but I can walk through numerous statistics looking at the beginning of a healing credit market, which is the first step to getting through this problem.
Well, maybe you know, see, again, this might be a philosophical divide here. Because on one hand, the Bush administration and Treasury seems to indicate that the trickle-down effect, give the money to the banks, and they're going to loosen up money and credit and start to flow, and people are going to be protected. On the other hand, there's another model which says create a system where you get pools of mortgage-backed securities the government takes control over, and you direct loan modification, you know, lowering interest, lowering principal, extending the terms of payments to keep people in their home. One model may keep several big banks afloat, but risk millions of people losing their home anyway, and the other model keeps people in their homes. See, you're talking about an if-come model that's based on the charitable sentiment, seemingly, of major Wall Street banks. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't get the money into the grassroots and help on loan modification, the banks aren't going to get their money to begin at the end anyhow, because, you know, one model percolates up. Money goes to the banks, help move money in Wall Street. The other one, you have this idea of some kind of trickle-down. A trickle never gets down. Everybody understands that. And yet Treasury seems to cling to this notion that if only the regulators now do their job. Are you kidding me? I mean, regulators, look, Treasury's been given almost omnipotent power here. And you have, unfortunately, you know, not exercised in the interest of homeowners. Do you believe that Congress would have passed the EESA if it understood that none of the TARP funds would have been earmarked for asset purchase and subsequent mortgage loan modifications? I mean, this looks like classic bait and switch. Mr. Issa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kashari, I appreciate that you were in on those negotiations with leadership. The majority of Republicans voted against it once and twice. Mr. Kucinich wasn't in the meeting where Secretary Paulson came in with the Vice President and Fed Chairman Bernanke and made all these assurances that there was absolutely a critical, immediate need to get rid of the corrosive derivative products, you know, all the different names for this, and, you know, ubiquitous, you know, sub-S retraded credit default swap, blah, 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 blah. Okay? But they talked about them as though they knew what the hell they were. You got the money, and you immediately said, what items, what auction? Would you please respond to, under oath, when did you go from what you told members of Congress in open and closed sessions was the absolute reason to have this money immediately to buy a specific group of assets, about $350 billion in the U.S., about $350 billion held by other countries and other funds outside the U.S. Those assets were what you said was locking up and destroying the market. When did you first hear that that money was not going to be spent that way?
Congressman, the day on October 3rd, the day that the Congress passed and the President signed the legislation, we immediately created several policy teams developing asset purchase programs, all the details, both mortgage-backed securities.
Now, that wasn't the question.
No, I'm
please forgive me. I want to know the time and date because I want to know whether Congress was lied to or whether there was a team all along that had an alternate, one or more people that had an alternate idea of how this money would be spent.
Congressman, forgive me, on October 3rd, we created a team.
No, that's not answering the question. And here's the reason I'm asking a very directed question. You can create the team. You can put together all that.
Okay.
You know, look, people, you know, Circuit City, and I sold them for 20-plus years, so I'm very sensitive to the trouble they're in. Circuit City announced that they were closing 155 stores and began that process. They never announced they were filing Chapter 11. But all of us looked and said, look, they're not going to renegotiate walking away from 155 leases without a bankruptcy. So in our minds, we knew, you know, it's a question of time. Well, they don't tell you one thing. They do tell you another. You never in any good faith explained why you formed these organizations, and now you say it's hopeless and impossible to buy these products that were the entire reason. You can't have the success for doing something different than you said without explaining why you didn't buy one of those assets. And when did somebody figure out, by date, when did you first learn that we were not going to buy these assets because we couldn't value them properly?
Well, first of all, Congressman, it's not a question of our ability to value them. The decision was made by Secretary Paulson very recently, earlier this week, late last week.
Secondly, it has been said that your purchases of $250 billion plus of preferred stock is at a price that would not be market competitive, meaning you paid too much. Tell me why I'm to believe for a minute that those preferred stocks that you bought, you could resell today for anything close. Remember, the market has improved. You've said that. Tell me what the profit would be on those preferred stocks if you began putting even $1 of them into the market today.
Congressman, I don't know what the price would be.
Okay, well, you're from Goldman Sachs.
I used to work there.
Okay, well, I'm from Directed Electronics. You're from your last job. If you tell me that you've improved the market, then by definition, those assets, if bought at par, have appreciated. Isn't that true?
Well, there are many, again, with deep respect, Congressman, there are many different markets. There's the equity market. There's the credit markets. I think there are strong signs. I can walk you through data showing the credit markets improving. The equity markets, we purchase equity. The equity markets are struggling.
You purchased a debt instrument.
Well, it's Tier 1 capital, Congressman.
You know, we can go ring around the rosy here, but you're here today because Congress is feeling that you played a bait-and-switch game, and you're not convincing anyone that you haven't. But let's just try to go to the fundamentals. You bought preferred stock.
Yes, sir.
Preferred stock is a debt instrument. You're capitalizing the company, but you're capitalizing with a debt instrument. Those instruments trade. I have BB&T. I have, I have a number of debt instruments of that sort. They have, in fact, appreciated from the time you bought till today in various portfolios. So I'm looking at those, and I'm following a lot more of those kinds of instruments. They have appreciated. So my question to you today, under oath, as someone who should know about this, is, are your purchases above par today, in your opinion?
Candidly, Congressman, I don't know. We have independent valuation firms that are going to provide regular reporting on the current value.
Regular reporting starting when? You're here today. Do you have any regular reporting from the day you bought them till today?
We've published the reports to the Treasury website within 48 hours of completing the transactions on the terms. And then right now we're in the process. Just yesterday, the equity asset manager solicitations concluded. And we've received, I think, hundreds of proposals. We'll be engaging the equity asset managers who will be providing us the valuation services and the reporting to the Congress on a go-forward basis.
But wouldn't it be reasonable for us to believe here today that if, in fact, you have improved the market, that those assets that you purchase, we'll call them equity since they're a hybrid, have appreciated?
I think they'd be reasonable relative to the day that we bought them.
Okay, so if we find out on the next report, which I hope is forthcoming, and we will be looking for it, that they are below par, then, in fact, you paid too much, right?
Well, again, it depends, Congressman, what our objective was. Our objective was to create a program that would encourage thousands of banks across our country to voluntarily apply and to use the capital. And so we intentionally made it attractive for them to want to apply.
So you believe here today that you had authority to subsidize banks, including providing them this capital at a below par, a below fair market, of a market that should have existed but didn't exist?
Well, Congressman, as you know, the market when we did this was there was no market. Company, most banks couldn't raise private capital.
Yeah, but we're in a better market today. You understand, one of the reasons for the question is you've thrown $350 billion, including AIG and so on, out there. You're coming back for another $350 billion. If, in fact, what we discover, and I believe here today, is that your $350 billion, and let's just look at $250 billion. We'll leave AIG, which is a whole other can of worms, aside. If that money, in fact, is a subsidy arriving at a price below the fair market price, thus causing banks to choose you, including banks in my district, choose you instead of other capital, all you've really done is give them a discount capital. Now, the reason I ask that is, how large is the capital base necessary for the banking industry in America? Do you have any idea? Isn't it about $55 trillion, plus or minus?
In terms of assets or capital?
Or the size of the market, if you will.
That sounds about right. I don't have
okay,
the numbers on my fingertips.
Okay, so you'd have to put several trillion dollars in to be the owner, if you will, of that base.
Of all the capital.
Even with the multiple. So the reason I'm asking all this, and I know I've got to yield back my, or I've extended my time, and just follow up one last time. If all you're doing is moving your money in at a discount to banks and entities like American Express and GMAC and everybody else who's rushing to become a bank holding company today as a result of this deal, then at the end of the day, we will have bought stock at too high a price or debt at too low an interest rate, however you want to look at these preferred instruments, and we will have moved people to other capital where they can get the returns they want because you're competing at a price that the market wouldn't accept the loans. You're giving them a deal that distorts the market. Isn't that true based on your background at Goldman?
Well, Congressman, when you have a market that is dysfunctional, any deal that we would put in, because we'd be the only provider of capital, would by definition be better than the non-available capital in the middle of a crisis. So, yes, we did offer attractive terms to stabilize the market.
Mr. Chairman, I might note that Warren Buffett weighed into this with billions of dollars. Wells did a deal. There have been dollars done, but those dollars, I believe, are not coming in until the United States quits subsidizing in competition to private sector dollars that would ask for a better return and undoubtedly would say that dividends and excess compensation would have to be curtailed until they were getting their returns.
I thank the gentleman, and you know there was a reason why I voted with the gentleman twice on this same question, the bailout. We now recognize for a period of 10 minutes Mr. Cummings of Maryland. Mr. Cummings, you may proceed with your question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Kashkari, I must say that as I have sat here listening to your answers, I have been disappointed. I think that you have kind of skipped around the issues here, and I say that because when I saw pictures of you, I thought, you know, I said, this looks like a guy that'll be a straight shooter. So I'm going to ask you some questions, sir. And I don't say that trying to embarrass you. I say it because life is short, and I don't have time to hear ring around the rosy answers. Let me go back to something that the chairman said. He talked about how, whether you understood that when foreclosures take place, he asked you, did you realize that it also affects the housing in the communities. In other words, you sell a foreclosed house, it's lower price, price value goes down. Let me ask you this follow-up question to that. You also understand that when price value goes down, local government is affected because it's based upon their tax dollars are based upon that. So, and it just goes on and on and on. So it's a very serious problem that we are dealing with here. Do you, and I guess what I'm, I always, every time I sit in these hearings, I always try to put myself in the position of my constituents who are watching this. Because when I come home, hopefully I'll get home about 3 o'clock today. I live in the inner city of Baltimore. And believe me, when I go to the supermarket tonight, when I go take my daughter to the movies this evening, I promise you people are going to ask me about you. And what they're going to say is, Cummings, we watched the hearing. We heard that guy, Cash Carey. But I'm losing my house today.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, folks. Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Caliban Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Caliban Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Caliban Soaps are available to you and me, triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Caliban Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 for 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
Phase 1 of the insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated with the recent bailout. International bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. Their next engineered crisis will be on a scale never before seen in modern times. Shortages and empty shelves will spread fear and panic across the land. The insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize total power. Phase 1 is a one-world currency, which we are currently being prepared to accept. Phase 2 of their insidious plan is complete control of our food supplies. Go to www.foodshortageusa.com for the details. That's www.foodshortageusa.com to learn how to prepare for the unthinkable. Don't wait for empty shelves. Learn how to make your own survival foods for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Roll to the breaks for the Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. But this will go about a minute or two over when the radio show ends on the internet only. We'll finish up the clip with the sentence. There's even more I'm going to play tomorrow, and then we'll be able to take your calls on it and comment. One thing I keep forgetting to plug, PrisonPlanet.tv for this month into December. You can get 5 months free right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. 20-plus films that I've made, hundreds of other documentaries, my weekly TV reports, in-studio reports, extras, just so much, and it's all in high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can then burn it to disk and give it to friends, family, and neighbors. People are really waking up right now. They're ready to hear the truth right now, and PrisonPlanet.tv is an armory in the fight against the New World Order in the information war. So don't forget PrisonPlanet.tv, and give it as a gift. Give them a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Just create a passcode and a username. And then give that to friends and family in a card and use the passcode for yourself. That's my little present to you. You can share the passcode with a couple folks if you'd like to. But that said, let's go back to the hearing. And then when it's over, rebroadcast will start at Infowars.com with Max Keiser today. We also had Gerald Celente. It was amazing on. So that's all coming up in the refeeds at Infowars.com. But we're going to go out of the show with the clip and into overdrive for the Infowars.com listeners. Here we go.
One, the legislation that we asked for it to try to stabilize and prevent a complete financial collapse of our financial system. And that was not to help Wall Street. That was to help every American. Please, sir. Please.
No, let me tell you something. I understand that. That's why I voted for it.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you, when we gave them money, when we gave the banks money, they still weren't loaning any money.
Well, let's talk about that, because we are passionate about getting the banks to loan money in our communities to help our small businesses and to help our homeowners. First of all, we allocated $250 billion for banks of all sizes across the country, and just about half the money is out the door today. I think we're going to approve another 20 banks today, large and small, across the country. Potentially thousands of banks are applying, and it's going to take a few months to process the thousands of transactions to get the money out the door. So we're working as fast as we can. We're working around the clock to process all these to get the money in our community banks. It's not a stimulus. It's not an economic growth plan. It is an economic stabilization plan to stabilize the financial system. And so I just want to respectfully set expectations that we are trying to use these resources to stabilize the system for every American. But we also have real economic challenges that we all need to work through.
Mr. Kashkari, in the neighborhood I grew up in the inner city of Baltimore, one of the things that you tried to do was make sure that you were not considered a chump. And what chump meant was that you didn't want people to see you as just somebody they could get over on. And I'm just wondering how you feel about an AIG giving $503 million worth of bonuses out of one hand and accepting $154 billion from hard-working taxpayers. I'm trying to make sure you get it. You know? I mean, and you know what really bothers me? Is because all these other people who are lined up, they say, well, is Kashkari a chump? We can just go in there, and I'm not saying they are. I don't know. We can go in there. We'll get some money. And you know what AIG did? They even will tell you they're coming back for some more. And they have the nerve to grant some $503 million worth of bonuses.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.